Hey Nick, how's it going?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Martin. You?
Good. Yes, not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Awesome.
Grey weather at the moment.
It is very grey, yes.
Yeah, it's a bit miserable.
This leads on to the topics I'm going to talk about later.
Oh, is it? Oh, cool. Yeah. Excellent. Look forward to that. So how's things been going? All right?
I was saying to you the other day about trying to be upbeat on all the podcasts.
Yes.
But then I listened to Bootstrap FM and Ian Landon's always like, it's kind of like, it's all right.
Yeah,
that's it. It was funny because a friend asked me, I knew the podcast was coming up, and because it's been 4 weeks, hasn't it, since we last recorded?
Must be, yeah, yeah.
We did the interview last week, and so I was kind of had it in the back of my mind, thinking, oh, I'm gonna have to come up with some stuff, pretend I've been busy, blah blah. But then a friend asked me at golf, it may have been yesterday actually. You know, have you had a busy week so far? And I was kind of thinking, I don't know what it is about this time of the year and stuff.
It's hard, isn't it, this time of year? Yeah, it's just miserable. Yeah, getting up when it's just light or maybe dark, even depending on what time you get up, and then it goes dark about 4 o'clock. It's I can't stand it. Sometimes, around about Christmas, I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah.
Up until then, it's horrible, yeah.
Well, Christmas is nice because it's supposed to be dark for Christmas,
isn't it,
I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And they have all the Christmas lights on and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, I was going to ask you, how was your holiday?
Oh, it was nice, yeah. We went to Bude. Mm. So we took the camper van along, although we stayed in a holiday home this time. And it was good, yeah. Had nice weather. The sea was a bit colder and did a bit of paddling rather than wading through the waves this time.
God, I wouldn't fancy that, yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of weird, actually, because there was one point that the sea was really cold, and then you walk along the beach a bit further and it was a bit warmer. I was like, I said, so this might be where the sewage pipe goes.
Yeah. Let's keep away from this bit, yeah.
I was kind of joking, but then I kind of half thought about it, and maybe. But yeah, it was really, really nice. We did the usual thing of whenever we go on holiday somewhere, we end up on Rightmove looking at house prices and things like that, and perhaps dreaming of moving there one day.
Mm.
But you never know, we got a house valued, and because of the whole Crossrail thing coming to Reading, we knew our house had increased in price, but we didn't realise quite by how much.
Gone more than you expected, yeah.
Yeah, and the good news is, as anyone will know who's looked, it was like my friend on Facebook or Twitter or stuff, I'm terrible at DIY.
Mm.
Although the two things I have done, which are a curtain rail and the coat hanging thing, they've both stayed up.
Oh, that's
two things I've done properly, as in done drill and screws and stuff.
Fantastic.
Like that. So that's 100% record on that. But everyone else will know that kind of gaffer tape is my main thing of fixing stuff.
Did you watch The Apprentice last night? Sorry, I'm interrupting
you.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, yeah.
He was screwing a nail.
Like that's it, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
What was there's two things, actually. This is really funny. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so the DIY stuff that we kind of thought we might have to do on the house in terms of, you know, a lick of paint, fixing up, perhaps getting a wall repass and stuff. The estate agent said, don't worry about it, leave it. There's no point because there's such a shortage of houses in the area, it won't make any difference.
Wow.
If there was, 10 houses all similar and you're all competing to sell, then we'd say, yeah, but at the moment, you don't need to worry about it.
Wow, that's
so that's
amazing.
Good. So no list of DIY jobs for me if we want to sell our house, if we want to move to Bude, so that's good. Mm. But the gaffer tape thing is funny.
Yeah.
Because I saw a program, I was just flicking the other day and got onto the documentaries or whatever, or History Channel, and there was a program all about gaffer tape, and it was I think it was on Discovery Science or something like that.
Right.
And it was looking at all the things you could do with gaffer tape and testing if it was the strongest material known to man. And so they basically took a car that had fallen apart and gaffer taped this car all together.
What?
And then did a load of tests with it to see if it stayed together. And it did. And then they built a 100-meter rope bridge with gaffer tape.
Oh,
this guy
God.
Had to cross this rope bridge. So there you go.
Wow, that's amazing.
Gaffer tape is as strong as you think it is.
It is the stuff of legend, though, isn't it? Gaffer tape, yeah.
Fantastic. So go on, what have you been up to?
Mainly working, I suppose. I didn't take any time off over half term. Well, a couple of half days, that was it. You know, took loads of swimming, that sort of thing. But the good news is that the holiday club that was using the product, that went okay, as well as can be expected. I was really busy doing lots of manual tweaks to the database and daily bug fixes and things like that. The problem was, because we were late delivering it to him, he'd got a lot of paper forms, and I had to then manually get those paper forms in.
Well,
not
manually.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Sure you didn't see it like that at the time.
No, it was pretty painful. Because you have to kind of first of all, you have to be able to read people's writing, which isn't brilliant. Mm. And then it was a good eye-opener, actually, for some of the problems that people are facing. Because, people were filling in the forms different ways depending on how they interpreted them, for one thing, which yep. sounds like it's impossible to do with such a minimal set of data, but it's not. And so we were getting to the point where there were things that were being entered that he had to follow up on, you know, to fix. And so that's a really good advertisement for how good the products will be for him, because it'll be, first of all, if they book online, they'll have to put the information in and it won't, you know, they won't end up with that problem. So so that was really good. So things like that were good. And he paid me. So I've got the first month's Woo-hoo. Payment in the bank.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so for now it's going to be a monthly invoice that I generate and send. But, yeah, so far he's so goody.
So is your software billing other people then?
No, it integrates with Stripe or PayPal or whatever, but it uses the club's tokens. So they registered with Stripe.
Yeah.
And it uses their tokens and everything so that they can...
But Stripe is billing... for this guy then?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So it's
yeah.
automated that part yes. of business for
yes,
him.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Excellent. So, not all of them, because unfortunately, fortunately, there's a scheme called childcare vouchers, which you've probably heard of. And the way that works is, it's tax free, so it comes out of your salary, and so employers usually engage with a company that provides tax childcare vouchers, and they. You have to do it through their website, so they can't pay online. There's no APIs or anything for it, so basically you have to go to the page, the finished payment page, and say, here's our details, find it in your childcare provider's website and pay, or
yeah.
however they have to do it, you know, some instructions depending on which the childcare provider is. So yeah, so that's, you know, touch wood, pop the cork and all that, it's gone.
Excellent.
It's gone okay. Yeah, I've had another follow-up as well from... So I renamed a thing a while ago, and I kind of used the opportunity to put a forum post on, saying with a little survey, saying what do you think the name should be, and not very many people did it, but a few people did, and I got a couple of leads out of that, and one of them, so I followed up with them after this club had gone live and finished for the week, and one of them I had a conversation with, and she's keen
yeah.
to do something, but the way her club works is slightly different, and I knew that clubs work the way hers does, but I need to basically make the app do what she needs it to do, which
yep.
is the next step. So yeah, no, it's been a good couple of weeks, but busy, but good. Yeah.
So when are you going to start marketing, executing your marketing plan?
Well, it's still, I think last time you asked me that question, I had the same answer, which is the problem is that the developers I've got aren't churning out the amount of work I need them to. So it was still behind. So I've spent all my time developing. Well, not all my time, but a lot of my time developing. No real time on the marketing. I've had a designer working on customizing a theme.
Yeah.
So that's all done now. It's just a case of me putting the content into the website and then start marketing it. Yeah. I guess if I can get sorted out with a new developer, which is what I'm looking at the moment. I've been interviewing some this morning. Then hopefully, again, touch wood, that one will work out a bit better. So there's nothing wrong with the developers I've got. It's just the amount of time they can commit
yeah.
has gone down. And every week we have a conversation about, well, you haven't done the amount of hours you said you were going to do. What can we do to improve that? And then, oh, well, we have to reduce the number of hours because I can't fit any more in. And so now I'm just getting a bit fed up with it, and there's not enough going on. The amount of time they're spending per day is barely enough to get into the coding and get the coding done. And
it takes a little while to mentally...
It does. And so it's not.
Get into it, doesn't it?
I think that's part of the reason that we're having such slow progress. So I'm going to see how we go. I'll get another developer on board and see how he goes. And if he works out really, really good, then maybe get rid of the two. Or
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So do you reckon there's other two guys are working on another project or something like that? Or?
One of them I knew had a full-time job anyway, so he only did the evenings and weekends. And the other one. Had some strange arrangements that I don't know about, but he said the only project he was working on code-wise was mine. But I found out this week that starting last week he's taking on some local work as well
yep.
in where he lives, which is annoying because he said that wasn't going to happen, and so that really put the nail in the coffin of me looking for another developer because he can't concentrate, he can't do the amount of work I need. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
it's horrible as well looking for a developer. I suppose I've done it a few times now, and it's really, I don't enjoy it very much at all. Wading through Upwork, trying to find somebody that might be suitable, and then interviewing them. And I've got a couple that look really, really good on paper, but when I wanted to have a Skype conversation with them, they they're not confident speaking English, so they want to do a text-based interview.
Yeah.
And I kind of think they look really good on paper, and maybe a text interview would be okay, but I'm just not sure. Do you know, I'm not sure whether it's just to have that communication channel of being able to just fire up Skype and have a conversation rather than relying on text.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure about that yet. So I don't know.
I mean, how much time, like months or weeks, can you commit to employing someone for?
Depends how much their rate is, but at least until the end of the year, you know, which is like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I can easily commit to 6 weeks.
I just wonder because 37 Signals started up their remote work job board, didn't they?
I haven't seen that.
To place an advert on there.
Hmm.
I think it's more for full-time jobs. Maybe it does short-term contracts as well.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have a look at that. It's difficult. I don't know whether the problem is that when you search on Upwork, it only shows people that are available.
Hmm.
But there aren't that many people coming up. And the ones that do come up, like I've interviewed 4 this morning, and 2 of them were okay.
Yeah.
One of them better than the other out of those 2. And there's another one just got in touch with me on the way over here, and he's seems really good. On paper, he seems better than any of the others. But he's one of the ones that doesn't want to do a face-to-face Skype conversation. He wants to do Skype chat.
What about sort of this Toptal? Remember them being, they're advertised on Mixergy, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know what their rates are, but they have a deal through Mixergy adverts that gives you like, I think you pay for 40 and you get another 40 hours free or something.
Okay. I'll look at that as well then. Yeah, I'll have a look at that.
If you really want to make progress, and in theory they'll only provide you with the best, you know, Laravel developers out there, then perhaps it might be worth
it. It's a balancing act, really, between, yes, I really want to make progress, but I also don't want to break the bank because I've only got one customer. Well, I've got 2 customers, but one of them isn't paying me yet because we've not delivered to them. So, you know, until I've got enough to justify spending a regular amount, I don't know. It swings around about. One minute I'm saying just like get it done and don't worry about the money, and then it's a sunk cost, and then go from there. And the other part of me says, well, if I build up a relationship with a developer that's really good, I don't want it to be a developer that's really expensive that I can't afford to pay once I get, you know, to the point where I've got some customers. It's, I don't know.
Well, I'd check out Top Talent.
Yeah, it's worth a look.
I don't know what the rates are, so it's only just, you never know, it might be cheaper than you think.
Yeah, it's worth a look, definitely. Mm. I'll have a look afterwards, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's going okay. So far, he's so goody, as I said. I think I'm late for delivering to this other customer, which is the biggest frustration for me at the moment because I don't like being late with projects. But they seem all right about it so far. Touch wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool. What else? Have you got anything else you've been up to?
Well, I was going to say, before I go through all my stuff, the interview is good with George.
Oh, right. Yeah, cool.
Sendal.
Yeah, I'm pleased.
It's good timing as well, wasn't it? On the news.
It could have been slightly better because if we'd have done it just after that news, we would have had something else to talk about as well. But the news about Gumroad, that was a bit of a shock, really. They seem to have been doing so well for so long, and then all of a sudden that comes along.
Because they were on Mixergy only a little while ago, Gumroad, I think, for an interview, I think. So do you know the background of the story? I guess they took VC money and haven't been able to generate new business or whatever as quickly as they thought.
Yeah,
they could.
That's it. I think that's it in a nutshell, basically, is that they've obviously thrown people at it and a lot of effort, and it's not been returning the results that they wanted. I think, I can't remember the guy's name that runs it, but he was saying that rather than do sort of lots of rounds of redundancies and stuff, he'd rather just make a big decision now, streamline the whole thing, and then start again from scratch almost to try and get the growth back. So
with Sendal being bootstrapped,
I've
read the blog post, we'll include in the link that George wrote following the Gumroad announcement. He said that some people were, you know, more keen to go with Sendal because they're bootstrapped and profitable, and you know, that should in theory mean they're around for the long haul rather than a VC-backed company, which if it doesn't work out, there's always the risk of them closing the doors.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting in the article he wrote saying that some people come to them and ask them what their business model is simply because they don't want to be stuck with a company that's doing well now, but a VC-backed, as you say, and will, you know, get the funding pulled or go under at some point and just disappear from underneath them. And that's really interesting. And they redesigned their website, Sendal did, to highlight the fact that they're a bootstrap company, which is interesting because a lot of the time you kind of try and hide it, don't you, to try and say...
Most people try and appear bigger, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yet there are a lot of people out there that that prefer that sort of way of working.
I guess the good thing about, you know, the people that want to use Sendal, they're generally, you know, one person shops, aren't they, that have an ebook or something that they want to sell. So they, you know, they're small. They don't mind dealing with other smaller...
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Smaller organisations, I guess. Whereas if it was IBM
yeah,
or something like that, then it might be different. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we catch up with George in a few months' time or something, and find out whether he's had a big surge in interest and business from the Gumroad news.
I think it's interesting as well, because if you say, so say somebody spoke to me about the kids club stuff, I'd say, yeah, bootstrapped, looking into to just keep going with it. There's no danger of pulling out or anything like that, unless, you know, something drastic happens. But it's only been going less than 6 months.
Yeah.
So that would, I think, highlight the risk flags. Whereas if it had been going for 5 years, like Sendal has, then you think that's a much safer bet. So there's probably a bit of a sliding scale there about whether you're a better bet as a bootstrapper or not, until you've got enough under your belt to be able to say we're here and we're, you know, we're profitable and it's fine, sort of thing. That's
but from your from your particular situation, because it is a relatively new business and you're at the start of building a product, you're able to build those specific use cases quicker or straight away for those, you know, people who've shown the first interest, and they're dealing with you as the founder of the business and you know, lead developer or project manager or whatever that you wear, that, you know, directly look after the developments and features and stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's the big bonus first of all, because I am able to speak to people and they like that, and it's good to be able to get that feedback directly, and then actually they're defining what the features of the products are going to be, because that's what they need, and so that's really good. I guess there'll be a point at some point where you can't do that anymore, and it's going to be a case of you sign up online and you get what the features are and you can make requests and so on. But I'm looking forward to that day.
I was going to say, you're hoping it gets to that point.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
But the other thing that that George was talking about in his article was about the sort of building a business for the long term rather than just building a business to make some money and get out again. And that I find that really interesting, because I think I've said before about what I want to do is get a business that pays enough so that I don't have to do the freelancing anymore, and then see where we are and then go from there. And I think that doesn't mean that I'd just dump a business, you know, that I, as soon as I got the next big idea and then started on something else. I think it's like, I think Rob Walling talks about this, where you have a portfolio of small businesses that make money, and like flywheel approach of, once you get them into a point where they're delivering what the market wants, then you can just keep them marketing and keep them sort of working for you, but outsource bits and bobs of it, and so you don't need to spend as much time on it. I think that's kind of the way I look at it. So George sounds like he's more of a going to keep the business going for as long as he possibly can, and that's it, you know, that one business, focus on it. I'm not sure that's exactly what I'd do with this, but who knows, you know, if it becomes,
it's a big enough opportunity, isn't it? That's to a certain degree of it as well.
Exactly. I mean, if I get to a point where it's making, you know, I don't know, pick a number, £5,000 a month, and it's not going to get any bigger than that, that's it, then probably do need to look to something else to be able to keep going and keep my interest and stuff. But in the meantime, if it gets there and then it's still going, why not, you know?
What the hell is it with that printer?
I don't know.
How does it know we're recording a podcast and it decides to clean itself now? I don't know if people can hear it because we've got the microphones, but...
Yeah.
Like, I literally haven't printed anything with that printer for months, and yet it knows we're doing a podcast and decides to...
It happened last time as well,
I think.
That's funny.
Odd. Sneaky printers. Internet of things, isn't it? It knows what's going on.
That's it, yeah.
Right, so I can get on to what I've been up to, I guess.
Go on then.
So this is it's a bit work related. Actually, it's interesting, almost like a segue thing leads into what I was going to talk about a bit. You kind of say, you know, once you get the business to a certain size, and perhaps you've maximized the opportunity of, you know, just getting itself running and automated and stuff. And so with the position that VoucherCodes Pro is in now, and, you know, still waiting for this Google update and whatever, the good news is, as I think I said last time, that we said to people we're going to have to let a few people go if, you know, there wasn't a major update by November 1st, and that kind of happened while I was away. But Those people that we kind of gave forewarning to, two of them have found jobs and moved on already, so that's good news.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Which is what we wanted to give them a chance to do.
Mm.
So that's good. But now it's really at a point of, you know, focusing on other stuff, bringing in other revenue to a certain degree. And so looking at automating the final pieces of VoucherCodes Pro that I was still doing manually or other people were doing manually because, you know, just never got around to writing the code to do stuff. It was always a bit easier just to have that little manual step.
Mm.
But now it's quite interesting because I'm getting around to automating the final pieces and parts. And from before where, you know, one of our main points was we collected all the deals manually and stuff, there's a couple of white label services that we're perhaps looking at making use of.
Oh, right.
So, you know, it hasn't really made any effect on our site of having unique deals and unique codes and stuff like that, so we may look at using a white label service for
right.
that. Because we've obviously got less people in the team now, so less people to check and get deals and so on.
Yeah.
But as people probably know, who've been listening to the podcast and stuff, you know, I've been on this either side project thing stroke dealing with this funk I'm trying to get out of, and it comes into the weather being gloomy as well.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, like there's some, you can have like the online tests for depression where it like asks you five questions and stuff.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. And if I go through those five questions, I'm like, they recommend I go see the doctor now. Because like one day I'm full of motivation, the next day I can't be bothered to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, the next day I'm full of motivation. And that's part of the problem with the side projects I've been doing, you know, because as with any new shiny object syndrome thing that we've spoken about before, when it's new, you're all excited about it. You work on it for one day, but then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, God, that was a terrible idea type thing.
Yeah, always.
So I've been going through that, and part of the problem is the weather, as we've discussed. So every November I end up in this funk of grey skies, miserableness, you know, when's it all going to end type thing. And so I bought one of the lights. What are they called? I've written it down here. So seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
Is SAD syndrome.
Yeah.
And you can get these lights that apparently brighten things up to give you the vitamin D that you're missing from the sunlight not being around.
Yeah.
And so I got that on Tuesday. Been trying it out a little bit this week. I'm smiling, so maybe it's working. I don't know if I'm smiling because, I don't know, it's a weird subject to talk about, I guess. But go on.
No, I was going to say, you had I had a cheery greeting when I arrived today.
There you go.
Cheerier than usual, I would say. Yeah.
So I'm trying out the light. And the other thing is, it was discussed, I think, on the Startups for the Rest of Us podcast about learned helplessness. Right, and I kind of feel like I've been getting into this negative cycle thing where, because with VoucherCodes Pro for the past year and a half, I've been trying to, you know, fix Google penalty issues and stuff like that, but not making any progress whatsoever.
Mm.
And kind of getting into this cycle of, you know, just feeling like you're out of control and not able to have a positive impact type thing. And kind of feel like it's fed into other areas as well, like, you know, golf, free time, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of helplessness.
Yeah.
And so part of wanting to automate VoucherCodes Pro and kind of it take a back seat is almost because, you know, it's a project that I don't want to get that feeling anymore of putting lots of effort into and not seeing any result from it.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the trading that I've been doing and talking about on here is almost a similar thing as well, because you can write all this code, you can build these systems and have all these theories and stuff, do all the homework you're supposed to do, and in theory come up with the perfect trade, and you put the trade on, but then the chancellor can come out with some announcement that day that, you know, makes all the markets crash, and again, you're kind of scratching your house going, you know, this is out of control, I've got no control over what's going on, it's all helpless, it's grey outside, I'm so miserable, woe me!
I want to go to the pub.
And then all you want to do is go to the pub and drink, but that's a depressive as well, isn't it?
So the next day you feel,
God almighty, I'm so miserable. God, I got this light to turn on in the mornings now. Yeah. I need to sit in front of it 24 hours a day. So there's a few things I'm working on to try and get out of this miserableness and depressive mood that I'm in. And one is not go to the doctor, so I'm determined. Although I said half jokingly, if I take this online simple test of five questions, you know, I don't think I'm depressed by any stretch of the imagination.
They'd probably just tell you to stop drinking coffee or something.
Exactly. Well, no, so it's the things that I have, the bad habits that I know lead to that, such as drinking alcohol, crap diet, not exercising enough. Yeah. So I know what I think, getting out and, you know, socializing or networking and so on. So I know the things I need to be doing. It's just getting into the act of doing them. And I read Alistair Campbell, isn't it?
He had depression as well.
Yeah, so I read his...
Tony Blair's advisor,
that's it. So he wrote a short ebook that's free, I think, perhaps on Kindle. It's really interesting. And so he wrote his about his battles with alcohol and depression and stuff. And it said exactly the kind of feeling you have when you are down and in that funk. You know what you need to do, such as go out and meet people or do some exercise, but they're the things you least want to do.
Mm.
And so you do end up in this vicious cycle, this spiral of miserableness or whatever, or learned helplessness. And so the things I'm trying to do are the light, to bring some brightness into my life. trying to do the gratitude type journal type thing.
Oh, yeah.
So just, another thing that when you're, either heads down working or, thinking about the big picture things or the things that aren't going right, is you miss the small things in life that are really, really good.
Mm.
Whether that's, I managed to get home after a quick golf lesson this morning and catch Sophie and Isabel before they left for work and nursery. And, Isabel had the biggest smile on her face in the world going, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's just those small things that you kind of forget about when you're so heads down working away. Absolutely. So I'm trying to create a little gratitude journal on my iPhone, just in the notes section, really. And then there's the small wins. So, as I said, there's things you know you need to do to, that don't necessarily have an effect on the day-to-day, but added all together, end up leading to a healthier life and healthier well-being, such as eating properly, drinking enough water each day, exercise, those things. So I've got a little checklist type thing of things that I need to do each day that just add up to small wins.
Mm.
So drink a bottle of water in the morning, drink a bottle of water in the afternoon, eat some fruit in the morning, so on and so forth.
Mm.
And so even if I don't get any work done that day, I can look through my little checklist and say, yep, I've hit all these little goals of things that don't necessarily have a big impact today, but added up across a 3-month period or something. If I cut out chocolate and eat more fruit and stuff, at the end of 3 months will have a big positive effect on general health and well-being. So there's that. And then from the work perspective, I've decided, as I said, Vatchka's Pro is kind of going to try and get into self-running mode as much as possible. I don't know if I've muted this, I guess, it's come in various guises before.
Mm.
Going to focus on trying to build up a consultancy type agency type thing. And the reason for that really is the various projects and things we've discussed before, such as bootstrapping a SaaS product or something like that.
Mm.
I kind of feel like I could start one of those, or I've tried to start one of those, but they're kind of in a similar boat, or they're close enough that I don't want to do that, because it could be another thing that I spend 3 months on, putting lots of effort into, but then it doesn't really have a positive effect in the positive needle, and I don't want to get into that helplessness state again of, feeling like it's a lost cause type thing. I kind of feel with the design or the agency stroke consulting type thing, that if you put effort into the networking and sales and marketing side, and I kind of feel that that's got more of a chance of generating business, and a positive outcome.
And you've got people to do the work, haven't you? So it would be more a case of the business side that you do rather than the actual coding.
Well, that's an interesting thing. So we need a new site to be we want a site to be designed, a marketing site. I'm kind of like, I'm at the point now saying, should I do it or should I hand it off to the guys to do? And it's something I would have always done myself, or, figured out what to do. I need to make a decision as to whether I am just going to focus on the business and sales side of it.
Yeah.
Or whether,
because it's interesting you say about that. I mean, it's a bit of a tangent, but I've been feeling that the past few weeks. I've been much more in the code because I've had to, because of fixing things for the customer, and the developers were AWOL. Whilst I do like coding and I was enjoying a lot of the coding, I much prefer the business side of it, like talking to the prospect and working out what it is she needs and then defining that into a spec. I mean, I don't like the specs, writing the specs too much, because once I've had the idea, I kind of can't be asked writing it down. So this is how it should work. Just go away and do it, but you have to write it down. So I found that I much prefer, and which is reassuring to me, because one of the things I was worried about having a business or like a SaaS business or whatever is not wanting to do the business side of it and just wanting to do the coding all the time. But I think I feel the other way, actually.
So it's interesting, because from other people, listen to other people about flow and getting into the flow. Mm. Like coding is one of the easiest ways that people have, like David Van Hansen has said, of getting into flow.
Yeah.
And so the thing I'm worried about is that's probably my easiest way, or I've historically known, of getting into flow is doing code.
Yeah.
Whereas kind of doing the sales stroke business development stroke, project management type thing, it's always dealing with lots of little tasks, isn't it? And jumping around from project to project.
But I think it's easier to see a win. I think that's what I like about it, because if you're coding, you know what you've got to do, and you know you can make things appear on the screen, you can make something happen and all the rest of it. And because you're so used to doing that as a coder, you want to get the big, chunky features done and dusted. And it can take days, weeks, however long, and you're just continually grinding at it. Now, you might get into flow and you might be coding away and enjoying the code and everything, but I find often there's less quick wins, whereas with the business side of things, you might have to put a lot of work in. I suppose it's similar, but you can have a telephone conversation with somebody, and in that one conversation, get so many notes or so many ideas that will take you forward, or that will take the product in the direction that it needs to go, which you didn't know before. And when you didn't know it, it was a nagging doubt in the back of your head. Whereas now you know it, you know, and that's the kind of thing I think I mean about the wins, is that the more you get the businessy side of it done, the clearer the rest of the picture becomes. Because quite often I find I'm developing something, coding up something which I know somebody wanted, but I'm doing it and I'm thinking, right, this is the way, you know, some of the detail things that don't, that you probably don't talk to the customer about when you're discussing what the feature is, but they're so important, and you're thinking, right, well, does that need to be configurable? Yeah. How configurable does it need to be? And those sorts of little problems really, really grind at me until I've solved the problem. And I think you only actually solve the problem when a customer starts to use it, in that case, because it's hard to explain to them exactly what you're talking about until they can see it and use it.
Yeah.
So that's why I like the business side of it a bit more, I think, at the moment, is because I get much more of a leap forward by doing that than I do by doing the coding at the moment.
Yeah, so from that point of view, I guess a lot of my talk and waffling and stuff on a podcast will be more about consultancy type agency stuff.
That'll be interesting.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. One of the first choices I kind of need to make is whether to pick a specific niche to focus on selling services for, whether... Because with VoucherCodes Pro, and from my background, you know, we've done a whole lot of development, design, SEO, online marketing, whether it's social or email marketing. And the stuff I'm doing at the moment for Gareth on his golf website, well, it initially started as the email marketing, and I'm going still doing that. And the golf club actually have got in contact about helping them send out an email newsletter. I want you to know whether that is just focus on doing email newsletters for businesses type thing, or whether to go the whole route of, you know, we can do everything. But
I don't think that, I think you should focus on the sales website type side of things, and sell, you know, online marketing side of things, and probably to not your one man band or your really small company, more your sort of 30, 40, 50 people company who haven't got a website or don't know what they're doing, and you can, because they're more like much more likely to be wanting to spend the money on it. And so it'd be an easier sale in that respect, and you'd probably get more. It'd probably be quite rewarding because you'd be able to see an impact fairly quickly.
Yeah,
you know, because a company of that sort of size has probably got a fair number of customers, and you could probably attract a fair number more customers. But when you're talking about a micro business or a one man band, you probably can't really tweak the needle too much in terms of their website leads. Yeah.
So. Let's see what happens.
That'd be interesting.
But so if anybody listening has got any needs for web design or SEO or copywriting or marketing, drop me an email. nick.swan.
Excellent.
So
that'll be good.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm done. Not much else to say.
Going to turn my satellite on now and give myself some extra vitamin D.
I'll grab some of that while you're at it.
Cool.
All right, speak to you next
time. Cheers, bye.
Cheers.